The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
What a good day, Gucci and Deal, the Beatley, Misha Brennan, Udavnia, and Shaw. I hail him radio with the one and only Kieran Cannon here at my left. Joe Dex producing in front of me, keeping us right. We're at the Key West restaurant here in Donegal Town for the homecoming of our Donegal heroes, who came so close. Two teams were left. It's All Ireland football final, but we came up short against a top Kerry team. And it was a late night. I'm not that long back from Dublin, and I'm going to, as the man said, Connie Shimpley, we'll keep it simple. Kieran Cannon is here. First of all, we have to thank Aidan Borden for the power of bus and Michaela for the news, of course. We've got to do the right handovers, Kieran. You're a professional. I'm just here kind of winging it. Kieran, listen, we come down the road. Your impressions of yesterday's game, you know, when the dust is settling. Now, what did you make of it? Because, you know, I thought, in my heart of hearts, I thought down the stretch we had a better squad. We might take Kerry, but that isn't how it happened. And I suppose tactically, maybe the zonal defending and the way Kerry went about that first half, they were an awesome team.
Yeah, but 24 hours later, you know, it's so disappointing. And I know there were, what was it, 7 points up at half time, but like at the end of the day, those uncharacteristic mistakes yesterday, and bad and all things were, like, you still had we took it back to 4 points, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We took it
from
back.
It was out as far as nine, and we got back to four.
Yeah, we took it back to 4 points, so we just did not perform, and there's no point saying anything different. And there was a lot of errors yesterday and mistakes that usually don't happen. And Kerry were the better team, but at the end of the day, like, it's just so disappointing.
It's Hugh
McFadden not starting as a big one.
If you lose a final having played well, I think you can kind of take that because you're beat by the better team. But I think if we go through the Donegal team, and we will in a minute, there wasn't that many in play at their best. When normally the last, well, all season, we've basically been playing maybe 7, 8, 9 players have played at a high level, maybe a 7, 7.5, 8. Everybody else has been doing their job. But I think we came up against a different animal yesterday. But Kieran, just before we get into the game and that, you know, the season, right, Donegal, obviously very early on, we nailed our Division 1 status, which allowed us to rest a bit. We had done the Ulster, unfortunately, the preliminary. Come back and won Ulster. You know, we're looking at 11 games in 16 weeks. You know, it was such a season. It was such a run for all those Donegal people. And it was a brilliant couple of weeks building up to this final.
No team ever qualified for the All-Ireland final playing 11 games. I think in the build-up to the game, Brendan, a lot of people were missing the fact that Kerry, the last four All-Ireland finals, they lost three. And you talk about hurt, and that would have been a motivating factor for them. You know, hurt drives you on. I know it's an old saying, but it's actually true. And you look at Jack O'Connor as well. Like, yesterday was his 9th All-Ireland final as a manager, and it was his 5th All-Ireland final as a victory. And like, that's unbelievable start for him, and I just think maybe a lot of people forgot that. And no disrespect for me, Brendan. It was a great semi-final. No disrespect for me.
Yes,
but you know,
it's interesting you say that, Kieran. Did you think yesterday then, because at the start of that match, was that we looked a bit heavy-legged, or was it nerves, or was it something? Because I don't think Jim's teams. We were talking about this before the game, you know, during the pre-match. Jim's teams are ready to play on any occasion at any time, because it's about the system and it's about everybody buying in. But we looked a bit heavy leg. Like, Kerry looked like they had the energy. I mean, was that something to do with the 11 games in 16 weeks, or was it to do with a bit of nerves, or was it Kerry, as you said, they were there and they had to make up for a few demons themselves, and they were used to being there?
Well, you do have nerves, obviously, in All-Ireland final and 11 games too, but there's something as well. It's two of that Donegal starting team, only two played in an All-Ireland final before, Michael Murphy and Ryan McHugh.
Yeah.
And you look at the Kerry team, they've been on lots of All-Ireland finals. So that probably was a factor as well, the big match day experience, given the fact that only two of the team played in All-Ireland finals before. I know you had Paddy and Q came on, like, but the experience of an All-Ireland final day is something money can't buy.
Yeah, money can't buy indeed, folks. We have the great Barry Monaghan has joined us here. Barry, like a lot of the Four Masters, people giving up their time to organised this, and we're overlooking here from the Key West, we're overlooking the car park here, everybody knows it, down by the pier, and there's loads of Donegal fans streaming in now. And Barry, just the operation to get all this done, all the Four Masters crew are coming in to help out and run this smoothly.
Yeah, that's right, in fairness. You know, you can see yourself with the stage and the screens and all the barriers up. A lot of work went on, you know, this last 10 days, to be fair. And, Four Masters, they take it on. But, the stewarding, there's plenty from the St. Niall's Club, the Knee Breeze Club, you know, so it really is a community effort. And a lot of effort has gone into it.
Yeah, and Barry, got up the game yesterday. What, you like the rest of us, I don't know what it was. I think it's just the belief that we have in Jim and the belief that we have in this Donegal team. Like, I was, like, when Kerry went 9-0, we just spoke about it in that first half, I was, like, shocked. Talk about rocking your back in your heels. I don't know if it was like out in the pitch. But do you think, just tactically, Barry, I was just talking to you down there below, in terms of the zonal, was the writing on the wall a wee bit maybe against, the last year against Meath, the way there was a lot of shots but a lot of misses. But we're now facing a very, quality Kerry team. If we give them chances out around the arc, it was going to be different to Meath. And do you think that was I suppose in many ways the way they tagged us when we went forward? Their defensive shape seemed more solid than ours, and ours I thought was going to be like a real tough unit to break down. But early on, Kerry were coming through us with ease.
Yeah, and you know, with the way the game's gone now, the 2-pointers is such a big score. And Kerry do have them shooters. They have really quality forwards. You say, we probably, no disrespect to the likes of Meath or Monaghan, they didn't have that scoring power up front, and we were probably getting away with it. On the flip side of that, we showed a lot of scoring power against both them teams and put up two big scores. But Kerry had their homework done, and from the very first ball that came in, Gavin White really set the tone, And I think for that first 15 minutes then, Kerry really played like the words we use with Donegal all the time, relentless. They were relentless. Yeah. They just kept going and kept coming at us in droves. And our boys, to be fair, they just couldn't get a handle on the game before we knew it. With them 2-point scores, we were 7 or 8 points down, and you're chasing the game. And all them scores give Kerry the oxygen, that we were striving to get, that we needed to get ourselves back into the game.
Right. It just didn't seem to take off. Kieran, you mentioned Hugh McFadden before the match. We were pitchside and the news came through about the change, and I heard Keelan McGonigal's, and automatically I thought it was for Keelan McColgan, and I thought, right, that's tough on Keelan because he's playing really well, but that's a great sub to bring in because he's got legs and loping up. And I always thought about down the stretch, we'll take them down the stretch. That was in my head, shows you how much I know. But Keelan, the fact that Hugh didn't start, Hugh was playing really well, and him and McGee, I thought, were playing a nice role of you start or you come in, like Louth, Monaghan, Meath. It seemed to be working well. Were you surprised at that?
I was very, very surprised, because anybody that knows me, I was singing Hugh's praises, especially for the first half against Meath. He broke down a lot of the Meath kickouts, I was very surprised. Somewhat maybe an unsung hero. And you look at the shape Michael Murphy got himself into for the season. Hugh McFadden as well. Like, a lot of people would have thought maybe his best days was over. Far from it. He had a great, great 25. So, yeah, I was very, very shocked that he didn't start yesterday.
Yeah. And, Barry, what did you think about that? Because I know, listen, hindsight's great and all that there, but see the aerial battle out there? When you look at the O'Connor and O'Shea and everybody's in, there was a real battle element to Kerry. Now, Hugh's a battler. Did we miss that battle then out round the middle? Because Keelan isn't really a fetcher, It's more, like, Keelan hasn't played midfield, I don't think, under Jim before. I can't think of any time. It seemed like, but obviously from training, Jim must have said that was the right move. But it turned out, for me, I thought we could have done with Hugh in the pitch.
Yeah, no more so. Listen, hindsight is a great thing, and we spoke briefly downstairs about this. But I just felt, when you were looking out onto the field and you seen the way of the setup, with Hugh not there, we were so used to him being there, and him there for one half, and Jason McGee there for the second half. But I just felt we were that just one big physical man short for the kickouts in the first half, that we couldn't cover all the bases that Kerry had, or all the aces that Kerry had. So, and we just couldn't. And it's the old saying, if you don't have the ball, you are going to struggle. We just couldn't get that foothold. We just couldn't get our hands on the ball. Listen, in fairness to Hugh, came in the second half. Jason McGee came in the second half. We did get a better foothold, but maybe at that stage then we were putting out fires as opposed to maybe really looking after.
Yeah. And Kieran, in terms of the effect of that, particularly Gavin White early on, you know, Breen as well, the bubbly. Were we sitting a wee bit like inviting them on? Was that a dangerous play with Kerry? You know, no, it had served us well and it's got us where we needed to go, but it definitely didn't seem the right, because I think with Donegal, when you talk about 2-point threats, we seemed to be in a zone where the 2-point was on, whereas when we went down the other end, Kerry had us outside of the scoring area at all, so they were tagging us before we even got into a position where we could kick, and every man was responsible. So is that something, I suppose, that we'll learn from that? And listen, there's nobody better than Jim to rejig things, but what was serving you? People keep talking to me about this, but I was like, listen, this is what's serving Donegal. This is what's getting us where we need to go. But, you know, compared to last year, I think we left Galway and we're like, we probably need a player or two to come in. You know, it's a very different feeling from this one, Nick.
Yeah, I suppose, no disrespect to the standard opposition we played, but Kerry, like, the All-Ireland finals, like, you know what I mean? And the standard opposition that we played in terms of driving forward, Kerry had all the answers yesterday. You look at Kieran Moore, he wasn't the same yesterday as he was in the past. And speaking of Gavin White, himself and Paddy Clifford, were they involved in every Kerry score yesterday? Paddy Clifford was involved in every score, and Gavin White, yes, man of the match, and deserving so.
Yeah. And Barry, did you think that was a thing? Because I couldn't see how people talking about your man Mark. If you look at the Tyrone scenario, going into the semi-final, obviously they man marked Sean O'Shea and Paddy Clifford and he took them out of the game, but then David was isolated in with Hamsey and he destroyed Tyrone. You know, was that something that when you look back at it now, should we have went after, particularly after Paddy? Because as you said, but then I think the zonal was inviting on the half forward line, but as Kieran was saying, we don't go all the way, we stick to what we know, but Kerry were happy enough with that. They seem to be happy to pick us apart.
Yeah, well, listen, when you're talking about the two Cliffords, Paddy and David, outstanding footballers, you know, and then you had Shawnee O'Shea, and you had Dylan Gainey as well.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, all over the field, Joe O'Connor, I think we just say they had so many players. When you think he had one or two of them done, I thought Brendan McCall done well on David Clifford. You know, he kept them away, was it? But listen, when you can get a guy hit 3 2-pointers, and for the vast majority of them, he's actually running away from the goal. You know what I mean?
He can kick I noticed about the 2-pointers yesterday, Barry? Whatever it was, they were right on the bloody line.
Right on the
line. Just seemed to have timed it perfectly. And I think for someone like Clifford, shooting from the edge of that arc, that's not hard. No. Barry, for us boys, it'd be difficult. I know you had a good left foot.
Yeah, but the penalty spot, anything further from the penalty spot.
And pass it back to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. But no, listen, to be fair, I just, you know, there's a lot, as again, hindsight's a great thing, and could we have done different things? And everybody's coming down the road on the car, and we should have done this, we should have done that. Listen, we done what we done, and in fairness, it just didn't work out. And I think everybody can hold their hand up and just say, yesterday on the day, Kerry were just a better team, and it wasn't an individual mistake, it wasn't a case that somebody missed a free, it wasn't a case, just as a collective, we weren't just, you know, Kerry were a better team. So
Yeah. Do you agree with that, Kieran? Is it one of them things where, I think as Donegal fans coming down the road, listen, we're so proud of the boys, it's been a remarkable season, but you know, so many of our players were hitting, as they say, up in the high marks. Was that Kerry yesterday, Kieran? Honestly, when I looked at that team early on, and what happened in the last few games, when we were up against it, think about Monaghan when we went in the scoring spree, when we went in the scoring spree against Meath, the players in the pitch actually energised the crowd, and then it was a back and forth, you could feel this wild lift. Now, when we hit the 4 points in a row that time and took them back, the crowd started to get really behind the team, but we never seemed to have that big moment, like the 2-point or a goal, which we needed. It didn't seem to be coming. I just couldn't. And again, I keep thinking, I can't see how we weren't as sharp as we needed to be. I can only think a bit of fatigue. And Kieran mentioned it there. You know, you could win All Ireland in 5 games or 7 games, like how many years ago? You know, back in the day, what, 3 Ulsters, but 5. Sorry, my mass ain't working too well this after a couple of late nights. Jeez, Suisse, fatigue. But listen, Barry, you could, this is like back-to-back seasons in one, and sandwiched as well, and, you know, the lads is coming down here now. I mean, it's such a commitment that they've given. But listen, Kerry didn't have that path, Barry, you know, and
Listen, and you hit the nail on the head. There's, what, there's 11 championship matches. You know, there's really good inter-county players play for Donegal and maybe have 10 or 15 championship matches in their career. You know, so if you put that into perspective, and the only one, there was no back door. So, yeah, hey, listen, fatigue was probably, but I don't think the boys would use that as an excuse.
No, I get you.
I think it was just a case of Kerry started the game really well, and they got energy and oxygen from that, and just Donegal weren't able to. And on that point, I don't think they got them. I think Donegal back to 4 points three times, and it was a big thing that we get, you know, just get over that. Get within 3 or 2 points of them, and then the crowd would really try to energise, but unfortunately we just couldn't get there.
Yeah, unfortunately we couldn't. Joe, we have a few words from our banister, the main man, Jimmy McGuinness here. We'll play a wee clip for you.
Where we got rattled was in possession ourselves. You know, we give the ball away at times today where it's very uncharacteristic, you know, and against Kerry, you know, you can't do that. You know, they keep the ball very well. Paddy Clifford is almost press resistant. It's very, very difficult to get heat on him. He's physically strong, controls the game, protects the ball very well, you know, and obviously plays very well with his brother, you know. So no, listen, sometimes in life you've got to put your hands up and you've got to take it on the chin, and today is one of those days, unfortunately for us. There's a huge amount of good work going on in Donegal, and there's massive amounts of work going on behind the scenes in terms of the academy and trying to build teams and trying to put our younger lads in a position where they can experience days like this more often, if you like. And that work has to continue, and the work with the players has to continue in the dressing room there as well, you know. But no, listen, today is not the day for that, you know. We have to reflect today. We've got to take it on the chin, and we've got to also tip our hat to Kerry. You know, Kerry were brilliant today. They played really, really well for long periods of that game, and even though we did get into situations where we felt we might get a bit of traction, that never really materialised. So yeah, we have to take it on the chin. I don't know, was it 6 or 7 scorers we had, you know? I think we've been 12 in the last two games, so there's things in that, you know. Why did we not get the same traction in terms of the threats all over the pitch, and different people popping up at different times, you know? So that's all things that would probably come into the mix, you know. Kerry had a very aggressive press on, we were trying to do the same. They won a lot of breaking ball, you know. We would pride ourselves in that aspect of it. They won a huge amount of breaking ball. Gavin White in particular won a huge amount of breaking ball. So yeah, every possession was crucial. Getting hands on the ball from our own kick out, crucial. You know, both kick outs and turnovers, that's what shapes attacks. And we didn't get enough. We didn't get enough. And started the second half, we might have won the first 3 or 4 kick outs in a row, and again you're building that momentum. But it's about keeping it going and keeping the scoreboard ticking, and unfortunately we weren't able to do that. They've put a massive shift in. They've given it their absolutely all from the beginning of the year. They're very, very good group to work with, very dedicated, very focused on what they want to do. Today's not a good day for us. Like, today is not a good day for the group, and it's not a good day, you know, in terms of what we wanted to achieve. And very, very disappointed for the people of Donegal that it didn't work out. They were here in their droves today and didn't get the performance either, you know, which is disappointing. But as I said earlier, we have to take that on the chin. I said to the players in the dressing room, it's not a game you should think about for a long time. You know, we didn't deserve to win the game. That's the reality of it. We didn't do enough to win the game. And so you have to let it slide. Sometimes you just have to let performances slide, and this is one of them. I suppose, no more than the car hurlers, there'll be a fairly heavy post-mortem after this one, you know, and we'll go away, we'll think about the game, we'll reflect on the game. You try to get as many things right as you can, and sometimes you just have to take your hat off and say, the better team won, and we made too many mistakes to win the game, and just make peace with that. And I think over the coming weeks, those types of conversations will probably start.
Yeah, that was Jim McGuinness there. And listen, folks, what can we say? Magnanimous in defeat. And listen, Jim, I suppose in terms of the changing nature of the whole game of football, you know, I was chatting to Kerry people before the game yesterday doing previews, and, you know, Kerry believe they can win all Ireland's. Every Kerry player believes that, and it's very often, very, very rare in Donegal times that we believe that. And to me, when Jim comes in, we believe. That's why we went up the road with such high hopes yesterday. In fairness to him, as he said, you know, you got to take this on the chin and move on. Something interesting you just mentioned there, Barry, before I let you go. The 7-point scores, 7 different scores, the last time that happened, this was against Tyrone in that game in Ballybuffet. Was this like that? Is there so many games you're going to have a dip performance? Maybe was that it in terms of our guys? Because As we were saying previously, you know, you can handle defeats if you play well. Just say, listen, the best team beat us. But I'm sure Kerry were actually expecting more from our guys yesterday. Is that the kind of hard thing to take coming down now?
I would say so. Listen, any player will tell you that it's one thing getting beat, but when you don't perform, it's a totally other thing. And I say a lot of them Donegal players feel that they didn't perform in the way they could. But you know, I think you just have to look at Kerry and in this instance and look at the players that they had and the form that they went in and the intensity that they took into the game. And you know, we just keep coming back to it that they got that start and it just they fed off that for the whole game, you know. But hey, all credit to our boys, you know, they give us such a summer, you know, and the buzz that was around here this last 2 weeks and around the whole county, you going from town to town, it was incredible. It's going to be hard now to think over the next few weeks it's going to die down again, all the bunting's going to have to come down again. You get so used to looking at it, you know, and it's around it, just part of the decor of all the towns and villages.
The blue and white will be up four masters in the county final soon.
I know, he's on that. Blue and white of Glenties, you mean? No.
Look out for these four masters, boys. The one rings around them. What's going on here? I'm getting afraid. What about Kilkerry? You must be afraid.
It's huge work at four masters, Brenton. They've been to every county final from under 12 the whole way up, and they're certainly knocking on the door. And if you knock on the door enough, you're going to bang it down. And I think it's only a matter of time.
They're coming with a sledgehammer now.
This is an ambush. This is definitely an ambush. I wasn't told about this when I was coming up here.
The four masters boys will be back. There'll be no stopping you, I think, shortly. I'm glad I'm finished up playing this point, Kieran.
Well, Brenton, I suppose back in the day, four masters, one finals, and you were playing for St. Jude's at the time as well. And I do feel the population of four masters, it is always only a matter of time, but they deserve
to be praised. He's saying, you see, we town Kilkerry, you are too, but no, that's what he's throwing at you.
We've worked at four masters over the last number of years, Ulster Minor Club finals. And
yeah.
I know, in fairness, listen, you know, the fact of the matter is, four masters have had a very good underage system, but the thing about it is, and I think everybody, getting the players from 16, 17, 18 to 21, 22, 23, I think that's a challenge, and it's a challenge for our club now to get them boys that have proved so successful in underage to get to that level. Don't be bigging us up yet there.
I'm getting afraid. Listen, gentlemen on the pitch, we've got a few people. Give Barry Monner a wee round of applause.
Thank you very much.
A few people have wandered in here to have the crack with us. Thanks very much for checking in. Barry's going to drop off there. Good to see you, pal. Gentlemen on and off the pitch, never ever a bad word in his mouth, even when he was winning championships for four masters. We were actually joined by a bit of GA royalty now. Kieran Kennan, you take it up, because the man to your left, I tell you what, talk about supporters. If there ever was a better, and not just in Donegal, but all over the country. I'll let you speak now, go ahead.
This man deserves a huge round of applause. If it's a Donegal Buchanan Cup team or an All-Ireland final, he's there. Let's hear it for Edmund Brennan from Niamh Alton. Edmund, how are you getting on?
Not so bad, Kieran.
We're going to talk about the senior team in the moment. Let's go back in time, and I always call you the memory man of Donegal GA, and a lot of people know why I call you that. What was your first Donegal senior game, do you remember?
My first game was in Balmafay, my father, God rest him, in 1963. We played for Munna in the first round. That was my first game ever to see the county team play.
And do you remember the expectation?
No, I did not. No, I was only 10 years of age at the time, and 10 years of age in 1963, like, you know, it's different to being 10 years of age now.
Lots of people, I'll know you attending games, but it's not just games you attend. You also attend training sessions.
Oh, training sessions. Well, one time you used to be able to get in to see them, but I'll tell you, it's hard to get through the wall now.
Yeah, but surely you would get in. You of all people, I would trust this man all the way.
Talk to me, Edmund, about your feelings, and can you put your feelings into words 24 hours later? Obviously disappointed, but how proud are you of Jim McGuinness and his Chargers?
Oh, I'm very proud, like, and it's great to see that the big crowds arriving here this evening, because it's well deserved. I know we didn't play well on the day, and but sure, them kind of days come, and we carry with a better team, and that's they started off the throw in, like, to set the tone for the game, as far as I could see, from the very start. Now, what a whole lot of people don't know, I was looking at a bit up on Facebook there this morning, at seven, we're 7 minutes into the game, right? Michael Murphy takes a free, puts it over the bar, it's 4 to Kerry, and it's 3 to Donegal, right? This is 7 minutes. And the 17th minute, the score was Kerry 13, Donegal 4. So in that 10-minute period, we scored one, Kerry scored nine, and we were chasing the game from there on. And we probably needed 2-pointers, and we probably needed a goal, and we never created a goal chance, you know, for the rest of the game. You know, we kept plugging away, and we got it down to 4. But probably at that stage, we needed something to raise the crowd again with maybe a 2-pointer and take it down to 2, you know. But Kerry were always seemed to be able to get up the field and get...
Yeah, critical period.
Critical period, say, you know. But, I've seen a lot of bad days in my time.
I'd say, don't be bringing them up now, because I'm involved in a lot of them. Just leave it out. I'm a wee bit sensitive after a couple of big nights in Dublin. Don't be going on them now, Eamon.
No.
Eamon, listen, see, in terms of nostalgia, you've seen it all. I remember years ago we were playing this game, just after Christmas, one of them games you didn't want to play in, but you had to go, and we were in the back end of nowhere.
I'll tell you where we were. You talked about it the last night. You were wrong. Hey, it was in a place called Glinsk. In the County Galway. And it was played, I think, on a Sunday morning. Myself and the wife stayed in Castlebar the night before.
I can inform with Brenton on a Sunday morning.
And I travelled down, and I had to get directions to this place, Glinsk. And I think we were playing a challenge match against Tralee IT. I think it was Tralee IT we were playing. And there was wild bad frost around that time, and it was very hard to get a pitch, but this is where we got the pitch. Anyway, we got a pitch to play in.
And you had no trouble finding out that's where the game was.
We got lost anyway, so we didn't know where the pitch was, because we were in a big coach, and it was enough room for the coach to get down this road. So eventually we found the pitch. Who's there waiting? The buck. He's there. He's done a goal.
Well, I'll tell you now, that morning, hey, I didn't even know, when I went to a fella's pub, Seamus Hayden, down the hatch in Roscommon Town. Seamus played in an All-Ireland final in 1980 at Centerfield, and I went in there, and I had to get directions off them in the pub for to go to this place in Glinsk. It wasn't that far from Roscommon Town now, you know.
That's a fair play. That's a real fan.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but see the All-Irelands, obviously, you know, the four, you know, your memories of them, like, of course, the brilliance of 92 and Indy 2012 and that. They're unbelievable moments. I mean, you were down in Abbey with us last week. It was a brilliant couple of weeks. And even in D2 the last night, all the people home from Australia and America, and it's really brought Donegal together.
Well, I'll tell you, just coming down the road there, I met a fella, and I didn't even know him, and I went to national school along with me, John McGinley, from a place called up Bay Crow, and he's home from England. I didn't even know me to tell me who he was. You know, so that you know, like, there's a lot of people home, and there's a lot of people gathering here now. And
I thought you were going to say you were college there, but it was national school.
Oh, national school. I never went to college.
No, you weren't at Trinity or anything. Studying philosophy.
The Donegal Town was the best. Well, the first year I wasn't the Tech. The Tech won the county championship, but I wasn't on the team.
I
was better at chatting about football now than playing it.
You're going not too bad now. I mean, I'll tell you. Listen, the team are now in Pettigo.
I used to gather up programmes and stuff like that. Even away back in the 60s, when I was small at Calhoun at school, I used to cut photographs of Mickey McAloon and John Hannigan and all them, and put them into books and all that kind of thing. You know,
brilliant.
And I'll tell you another story about going to Crow Park.
Go ahead.
I went to Crow Park in 1965 with Daddy. Donegal was in the National League semi-final. We went up with Terence McGinley. This man would know who Terence McGinley was from. And at that time, I used to go in along with my father and to the games, and he used to take me in along with him. You know, but when we went up to Crow Park that day for the National League semi-final 65, I had to go into a different, because it was turnstiles, and I had to go in. And then I thought that I was going to be lost, DC, when I get to the other side of the thing, and I started to cry.
Damn, the bit of you getting lost.
I started to cry outside Crow Park. But anyway, they got me in and got me over, and once I met up with Daddy then on the other side, then I was crying. You know, that's now a wee story there. 65. And I'll tell you another thing about 65. I have a photograph of the team on me phone. Shea Gibbons' father was a sub that day.
That's right.
And another fellow was playing that day, he's dead now, it's Hughie Travers, from Donegal Town. He was playing the full back line.
There you go, Kate. Now, Kate, are you going to jump on me one before we go to wee break?
Speaking of Donegal, in the progression of clubs, we've people here from Cairn Donegal tonight.
Cairn Donegal.
One of the fans this season.
Connor Donegal, man of the match.
And the Buncrana Cup, and remember him playing
How impressed are you from the season, Edmund?
And I would say that Cairndonagh would be one of the clubs that would be favourites to win the County Junior Championship. Not alone the County Junior Championship. I'm hoping that maybe if they do win it, they could go on and emulate what Muff have done and won the Ulster Junior Championship. Now,
there you are. Mighty stuff.
That's coming from an Eve Alton man.
He's playing to the crowd now, I'll tell you that. 100%. Listen, Edmund, you're an absolute star. Thanks for coming up and talking to us.
I hope I spoke all right.
You spoke great, Ty. We're lucky to have you. Right, folks, the team's about 20 minutes away. They're about to come in. The anticipation's building here. We're in the Key West, Donegal Town, overlooking the pier, folks. And listen, we're proud of these boys. You're going to come back. You're going to get a hero's welcome, no doubt. And we'll speak to you after
the DL debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny.
Right, folks, the time is 7:38. We are anticipating the homecoming here of our Donegal squad, the heroes that we send up the road to do battle in the All-Ireland final, and unfortunately we came up short, but nevertheless, I say these guys, listen, what they've put in, what they've done this season, we've talked about the games and the commitment, and just it's a full-time job, and listen, so proud of the guys and everything that they've done. Now we're shooting the breeze here. I'm lucky to say I'm joined by a couple of the Killahan family here. Connor's here and his dad, Darkie, Paul Killahan, otherwise known as Darkie. Karen's here, Owen's here. What's a crack, kid? How are you keeping?
I'm keeping good, Brendan. Yourself?
Hey, you were buzzed up for this game, Connor.
I was buzzing, but even though the result didn't go the way, the boys should be very proud of what they've done this year, hey, for they've done an incredible job.
They have, hey. And Connor, you're a famous man. You're the tallest man in our family.
Aye.
And that is that you look down on the rest of us. Yeah. But Connor, leading up to the game, you have a bit of time with some of these players. You know them better than most.
Aye, well, I know Pat Morgan and Shane O'Donnell for their teachers in my school, so they're...
Yeah, and they'll be there all the time, or are they away training?
Oh, they're there all the time, so they do.
They don't be sneaking off early.
No. They do not.
And listen, they're good lads.
Oh, they're brilliant, hey. They do, like, if any student came up to them, they ask them any questions, fair play to them. They do give advice and stuff, right. And they be...
And you know what, folks, that's such another side to our games in terms of people being integrated. And I don't know what it is about our footballers. They seem like they're always the nicest lads. Aye. Are they your favourite players as well, Connor?
Aye, they're the favourite players, but there's one man that was brought into the squad too that's one of my favourite players, Michael Murphy. It's great to have him back.
We'll have to give it up for Michael Murphy, aye. All right? We'll give him a wee cheer. The Murph man. Listen, I heard he wasn't about the bank it too long last night. Darkie, you know, a tough day for Michael. You know, it was almost like the stars aligned to get him back in, and Jim and the rules and everything seemed to fit, but it didn't happen in the end. But I mean, Michael did, as he does in every match, Darkie, he was like battling the bit out, you know. He was still 8 points. I mean, what a game.
Well, he's Michael's the leader of the team, you know, and he came back in. You know, it didn't go our way. You can see that quite early on, but, you know, you have to give it to the lads. They were fantastic to see it out and see it through. And it wasn't our day, but you could say they could hold their head up high. And Michael, I mean, what did he end up with? 6-7 points?
Yeah, I think he'd 8.
8 points, correct? You know, so, sorry. You know. Any day you finish an All-Ireland final, 8 points,
Don't, exactly. Again, I mean, it seems mad to even say that like, you're even thinking about, if I couldn't have 8 points, I mean, that's...
8 points, you know, and he came back in, and a man at 35, 36 years old in the shape he's got himself in, you know. And, you know, the question is, probably, is he going to stay on for another year, or was yesterday the end? I suppose that's up to himself, but, you know, he could play on, he's in so good a shape. Yeah. I think this year... especially in all the games we've played through Ulster and everything, we're at them all, but I mean, he's been as good this year as ever he's been.
Unreal.
As ever he's, you know, he's been all over the pitch, and he's probably the leader of the squad, isn't he?
Yeah, and Derek, you look at the genetics of him, you know, when 2022, when he finished up, I was thinking to myself, like, it looked like, all right, the chapter had closed, you know, the game had changed, you know, Rodgers and Ulster final, and the way we were beat by Armagh, but for him to come back and be as sharp and athletic, because we were thinking after Galway last year, we needed somebody down the stretch, but I mean, once Michael got himself fit, there was no impact. He was going to still be one of our main men.
Yeah, and I would say in the semi-final last year against Galway, we lost. Jim probably realised we probably needed that more physical presence up front or on around the middle, so we probably went to Michael and asked him to come back. And, you know, when Jim's in charge, I suppose it's easy for players to make the decision to commit as well, because you know you're going places. And to be fair, he's got himself in some shape and he's had an amazing year, you know, an all-star incoming, I'd say.
What a man. I know Kerr Lacey was down there. I was trying to get him in. He's a wee bit shy for some reason. I don't know why. But after Michael, you'd have to say Kerr next in terms of what he does. But what do you think? Do you think Michael will stay on? Do you think he'll do another year? What? I would say you could convince him.
Well, it's entirely up to him, Brendan, but I think he has the body for it, as you've seen this year. I think, I think Michael Murphy's in the best shape now as he was when he did retire in 2022, but hopefully it'll be good for Donegal if he does stay, but at the end of the day, it would be 36, like, and it'll be entirely up to him.
And Conor, we're past all the ticket stuff and all the drama of last week, but how did you get sorted? You're well connected here. Your dad, obviously, Niamh Colm Kills, well indoctrinated in the club, and he was flush with tickets last week, right?
Well, to be fair, Brendan, I'll say this. He said, if I'm not getting a ticket, I'm going to wreck the place and I'm going to thumb in the crowbar.
Well, the biggest man in the family, Darkie, there'll be no holding him back. There'll be trouble there. There'll be trouble, surely. But no, it was a great occasion. Your brother Owen's here. He's an entertainer. If we could get a wee bit of music drummed up, he could give us a song. What about you?
I'll be singing none here tonight, sir. Sorry.
sir. Darkie, you know, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, Brendan. Enjoy the show. Great show the day of the bits.
Darkie, you're a legend now. Fair play to you. Our county chair, Mary Collin, has joined us here. Mary, thanks so much for coming up and having a wee word with us, as you do. Great to see you. We were down here only a few nights ago. We were all buzzed up and we were ready for action, and unfortunately just come up a bit short in the day and maybe not the performance we were expecting from our boys.
Look, I know the boys are disappointed. I don't know if this has been live streamed, but any woman like myself sitting beside a book with the shorts like that on them, that would distract my thought process. But anyway,
thanks very much. I'll take it as a compliment.
I look at there's a great buzz about town. Look, listen to them young fellas now. You know, given entertainment and look at the crowd, you can see all the people that are coming here, and I think that's really going to give a lift to the lads.
Yes.
They are so disappointed, they're devastated, and a lot of them are taking it so personally that they've let us down, and that's not the case. We've had 18 months of good days, fabulous days. We've had the goals, we've had the points, we've had the Anglo-Sel twice, which is, you know, the holy grail for anybody that's from Ulster.
Yep.
And without a doubt, they have entertained us, and when you look at the number of people that are standing in the rain in Balbuffet, like 15,000 people in Balbuffet, and it was lashing on top of us, and that was to show support to the lads, to give them a boost, to give them the view and the perspective that we're here to support them as much as they are there to represent us.
Yes, and but it's just the change in nature of Donegal this last number of years. You know, we were talking about it last week. You know, yourself coming in, the likes of Sinead in there as well, Breen. You know, Jim coming in, Michael coming in. There's a serious feel-good factor. Mm-hmm. But also, thinking, I have to commend you on the county board, because there seems to be much more of a close-knit thing between everybody. There isn't this kind of thing. When I used to play, there was this kind of the county board where maybe it was nearly us against them a wee, but what are you looking for this or you're looking for that? The whole thing's changed now. There seems to be much more togetherness from the whole team, and I guess that's proactive then right across the board in terms of clubs and people and engaging and bringing people into association.
Well, we have to have a strategy in this county. We were up and down and up and down, and that's not the way to go. So the strategy is that we deal with our academy, we support all our young people. You know, we give them that opportunity at regional level at 14 and 15. You're moving into 16s, minors, under 20s. Our under 20s are there or thereabout, and I would say they're determined to win Ulster and go further if they can this time. You know, we can give out about a few things that went wrong on that day in Derry, and look at, they learn from it, and look, Tyrone went on to win, but you know, we need to be at that place. We also have a new initiative working with the schools now, and Ulster doesn't want to know about it, and St Colman's doesn't want to know about it, but we are going to bring
the amalgamation
teams, and that's on the basis that we have a very sparse population, we're very rural. The schools are not the same as in the north. Like, they have, 1,200 kids, boys, in one school, but they're feeding off 12 and 13 clubs, whereas we're feeding off three here.
I remember Gary McDade was telling me they were going up to play a team. I don't know, was it? I think it might have been one of the Dungannon team. He counted 22
clubs.
Capable clubs that could feed into him. And whereas Unions at that time, there was five potential. So as you said, it doesn't then lead to those guys maybe getting the level of maybe football they need. Because, they, as you said, Tyrone and Derry in particular are like football factories almost. But all the counties in North seem to have one or two maybe big schools that are pulling in clubs, which we find harder to do.
And look, at the Abbey Vocational School has done so well, linking in here with particularly with Four Masters and their underage strategy. So look, at the emphasis, and you'll hear Jim tonight, and he said it last night, the emphasis should be on our young people, on the talent that's coming through, that we coach our coaches, that coaching goes into our clubs. But at the end of the day, it's the clubs that are going to support our young people. And I know we're talking about the highest level of football. At the same time, the big thing about the GAA is GAA for all.
Yes.
It's for everybody. Not everybody's going to be a county player. Not everybody is going to have that opportunity to play senior in their club. But everybody should have the opportunity to play. We have go games, and that's why we want boys and girls to be afforded the opportunity in Donegal to excel if that's what they want to do, but to participate, which is so, so important. I see the chairman of the Four Masters here, and I want to thank them here for all the work that they have done, himself and Charlie Martin and all the lads, in putting this together. These are all volunteers.
Yes.
There are no paid officials looking after this. We're being supported by the local authority in Donegal County Council, which is great, and the civil services. But at the end of the day, these are volunteers.
Yeah.
And volunteerism is what is the basis of the GAA.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Right, just before you go, I have to say, Mary, you personally, right, I can only imagine what it was like last week between everything. All right, we all know about the tickets, right, but the organisation. Are you kind of like, I need a holiday now? Where do you go to cut loose or let the hair down? That nice blonde hair of yours, where do you let it down?
The tide.
The tide.
That's where I'll be going tomorrow morning. I'm going down to Inverbeach, and that's where I go. My colleagues, all of those, they're absolutely wrecked. The team's wrecked. Those that are supporting them are wrecked. We're all wrecked. We're wrecked enjoying themselves, and we're going to enjoy ourselves tonight. We had a big night in Dublin, and it was great to see so many people. And I think the lads were very surprised at the fact that there were so many there to support them.
Yes.
And to give them a lift. And that's why all these people are here now tonight. And like the bunting and the... Like, it's just been fantastic. And we mustn't forget, 18 months ago, we would have given her right arm to be in a semi-final,
yes,
not to mention a final.
Yes.
So that's really, really important.
It took us
so
a long
important.
Time to
it
get
took
back.
Us a while.
We can't
but
forget
we
that, Mary. I know, see, we're caught in this thing of, God, we nearly won all Ireland, and I'm thinking, well, we couldn't, like, fourth final, you know, where does it lie? So listen, you just got to be proud that we're right up there and take
we're
the learnings.
We're at a level that's competitive. Ulster is seriously competitive, and when you look at it now, you have Down coming. They're coming at us now again. They're lifting their game and they're doing very, very well. Louth has done very well. Meath is back. So look at the elitism of some of the counties, including Kerry, are going to be challenged. Limerick. Who would have thought that the Limerick footballers would be there longer than
yes.
the Limerick hurlers?
Yes.
Like,
it's great to see.
It's great to see.
We,
and
we
it's
need
good
that,
to see
we
it.
Need that, yeah.
So, look, things have changed. There are challenges out there, yes, but my forte now is to concentrate over the next couple of weeks and looking at our strategic plan, looking at what we're going to do in the development of our young people. Carol Lacey has been appointed now. He is going to really, really do a huge amount of work. We're a wee bit behind the curve, but look, we learn. We're going to be there, and we're going to manage it.
Brilliant.
And I would say I would say that's my daughter.
You get up there.
Now,
this is like the Santa tracker at Christmas. The Donegal team are very close. Mary's got duties to do. Mary, thanks so much for joining us as ever. Greg McGrory's here now for a couple of words. Donegal Four Masters chairman, Donegal Town chairman. Greg, good man. Thanks for holding on there. Thanks. Round of applause, Mary Colin there. Hi, are you, Greg? You keeping all right?
A bit like Mary, I'm a bit wrecked.
I hear you. We're all a wee bit tired here today, but we'll keep it going, you know, and just proud of the boys. Whole operation going here again, Four Masters, taking in the team and welcoming them back. It's a big job, but fair play, you're doing a great job here.
Yeah, and you know, for Four Masters, it's been a privilege to be asked by the county board to host it again, you know, and we decided to go for the pier this year, you know. And it's a big operation we've been working on since the Monday after the Meath game. We had a 6 o'clock meeting in the evening time with Charlie Martin and Thomas McNulty, who's led it for the club, you know.
Yeah.
Met the county board and the county council, and fair play to Mark Sweeney and the county council, who's really helped us out and really gloved us on and got the plan and got all the specifications.
Yes.
Done first, you know.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And we were just talking, like, about Four Masters. Obviously, I was down here during the week and having a laugh. The club is on a serious upward curve at the minute. Where is this magic coming from? Can you give us a few secrets, or is it like the Coca-Cola recipe? Nobody's allowed to talk about it.
Not allowed to say, but, like, if you look back at the club in 4 or 5 years ago, we were in a very bad position. You know, we were one game from Division 4. 4 years ago.
Jeez, that's mad to think.
Yeah, and we had got Kevin Sinclair in to help us out, and he saved us. He goes up to Division 1, won Division 2 leagues, secured our senior champion status, and it's going well. And obviously, underage, led by Rory Donnell and Parry Harvey, has really driven on, a lot of work going in, and hopefully that we can get them young lads, as Barry said earlier, into the senior team.
Yeah, and I think now, obviously, there's going to be future county players coming. I mean, you look at there, Kieran, as well. Do you think about some of the clubs that come up from a lower status, say at stages, like St. Michael's, like a Glenswilly, they only produce county players, no other than Big Neil Murphy, Colin McFadden, Toy McHaney, all these boys, Peter Willerow, all these boys coming through. Better be careful, forget somebody now. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they've worked the Four Masters. So it's not just about Four Masters. I'm looking at the minors and under 20 players that I'm seeing. I'm like, wow, he's some ballers coming through here. And it's fantastic to see, coming in the morning, seeing Carr's boys, for example, being unreal.
Yes. We look at Terman as well. Sorry, Greg. We look at Terman. They played in 3 competitions this year. They won 2, and they got to the 3 finals. That deserves huge credit. And speaking of Terman, the Division 2 final last year was between Four Masters and Buncrana, and Four Masters got the Division 1 final this year. And yeah, that's another sign of progress, Brendan.
Yeah, great to see you. Now, how long are you doing chairman now, Jager?
This is my first year. I've been assistant chair for 4 years underneath Parry Harvey. You know, Parry's really built the club up to what it is. And, you know, I've been asked to take it on board, and a pleasure to take it on board, especially when we see what's coming through. And you know, one thing about our club at the moment, everyone's working together.
Yes.
No split divides. Everyone's working as a unit, as a team, and we're really all after one goal, and that's Dr.
And we poached a couple of people on you, the Kelly family.
Unfortunately,
apologies about that.
Yeah, I worked with Marie on the underage teams, and a big loss. But look, she's gone back home. And
do you know what? They loved it here, Greg. And they, you know, I was even meeting some people last week. And they were saying, "Oh, Grania was at school, and Tom was at the school, and Sarah and we aren't." And listen, it's one of those things that they want to move back. That we're glad to take a bullet at units now, don't get me wrong. But listen, maybe you have enough talent coming through, you'll be happy enough.
We do enough. And I mean, we're focusing big on the ladies' football team as well. And that's great. A massive drive within the club.
Hurling,
we won the June Championship last year, and the lads are on schedule to hopefully get a good shot into media title this year, you know. Yeah. So we're in a good upper spiral, and look at the big clubs around us to learn off, Kilgar, Glenties, Unions, like yourselves.
Yes.
So we've looked at what you's doing, we're trying to put it into our way. Yeah.
He's saying the right things, Brenton, isn't he?
Hey, I'll tell you what, isn't it special though, Rick? Not, you know, we see hurling happening at the club, you know, because, you know, something special about obviously the game. And I same with Unions when you're down there, like, I always admire the boys so much because it's such a skill game, and there's so much football going on in the county. But I think it's very important that we have, as you said, a strong ladies game and promote the hurling.
Like, we've 30 lads on the senior team out there, which is brilliant for, and we're taking lads in from Neavolton and Killybegs and Ballantra and St. Noel's, and that's courage and hurling in the south of the county. And the county board need to help us develop in the south of the county. And ladies football, we have the highest membership this year in the LGFA in the whole county. We're one behind Unions last year, so yeah, look, we're in good shape. And we look at, as you say, G's for everyone, as Mary said that a while ago, and that's what we're trying to promote within our club.
Yeah, how are you with hurling, Kieran? I can imagine you. Were you nifty, or were you?
There's only one thing I have in common with hurling. I come from the same club as same college as Tipperary. We'll leave it that one.
Leave it there. Hey, Noreen Doherty said, "Noreen, how are you keeping? You keeping all right? You coming over for a wee word here? Come on over, say hello." Noreen Doherty said, "No, how you say? Give it up." What a lady in Donegal GA she's been. We're down the last couple of minutes. Noreen, you've seen a lot now in football. What was it like in the build up? You're probably still getting tortured for tickets and oh my god. But listen, it was a serious couple of weeks build up again. I mean, great time to be a Donegal fan.
Absolutely. I suppose this time we had only the fortnight, as against previous years you would have had 3 weeks, 4 weeks. No, sorry, I'm speaking funny, I have 2 broken teeth.
Yeah, all right.
But as there's good and bad in that, for having it just a short time, we get everything done, but it was a hectic fortnight with tickets and that, but Thankfully, I think we sorted everybody out.
Do you be avoiding people in these couple of weeks? Do you see people and you can like duck away?
What you do is you kind of stay indoors, you don't go out.
Close the curtains.
Talking about tickets.
You used to cooning, was it? No?
Close the curtains. But no, you've seen so much. When did you start working with Donegal GAA? When did you first get involved?
Oh, way back, I suppose, 86. I got 86. Involved on the executive first, on the county board, and then county secretary in 91. And I have been there until practically last August.
And you make a great cup of tea.
Lovely cup of tea, yeah.
Because we get so well looked after by Noreen and her sister up in McCool Park. And it's great. You know what, Noreen? But behind the scenes with all the press and all that, there's always a great crack up there. And it's a great place to be in.
Absolutely.
But it helps when Donegal's won, of course.
Aye, but that's what the GAA is all about, Brendan, at the end of the day. It's all community and everybody's in it together. We were all in Crow Park yesterday, 30,000 plus, but we were all Donegal people.
Yes.
All united.
Yes, great to see you. Great to see you. Yeah. And knowing just the boys coming back now, you've seen so many teams evolve over the time. What's going on now to the preparation? It's just gone. Because there used to be parts of the season where pre-championship and the big training. Now it's like, I know with the split season, but even in these 6 months, it's basically you're semi-professional almost, you know?
Well, big time. I mean, the team's gone since, the last Sunday in January. They played their first National League game. Now, obviously, they were preparing even before that. So that is 6 months of really very, very intensive work. Now they'll go back to their clubs. They'll only have their fortnight break, maybe 3 weeks. They'll go back and play then at club level, and then just back again to county.
Yes.
You know, a split season, it works. Or does it work at the end up as the county player that's suffering? More so, but everybody seems to be happy with his
maybe you're just thinking maybe because other sports and TV, obviously the county's the big one, so it's hard to get that balance right. But we're down to the last few seconds here, are we, Joe? Almost good to go. There's a few shout outs here. Dara Meehan from Dunfanny, Sean McGinley, Dunlow, James and Anya Meehan as well. We're just giving them wee shouts out as we wrap up the show. Okay, thanks so much for joining us. Noreen Doherty, round of applause there for them. Thanks, my main man here, Kieran Cannon, for joining us this evening. We just kind of threw this together, folks, to come down here. They welcome the lads back. There's big screens. The crowds are building. Listen, the lads are back. They're Ulster champions. They're heroes. They were one game away from the ultimate, but they'll be back next year, folks. So thanks for joining us here. I'll speak to you next week on the DL Debate. Thanks so much.